Well, God cares about how we live, and we know that, don't we? He cares about how we live, but He especially cares and is concerned about how we respond to Him and to His revelations, things that He reveals to us. In fact, God identifies Himself with us. He identifies Himself with our responses to Him, to His presence, to His promises. He actually names Himself after those things. Now, that's an amazing thing. What got me thinking about this is these words that I read earlier. I'll read them again from Jacob. God's words to Jacob after he had a dream. Now, actually, it was in the dream that God spoke to him. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 13, the first part. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Three things. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and where you made a vow to me. Now, this is amazing. This really blew my mind when I saw this. Jacob did some things, and these things were done in a response to God, and then God adopted those things with His own identification. He identified with them Himself. And that's amazing. You think about that. Jacob did some things, and God took those things and identified Himself by those things. Now, that is an amazing thing. And this is the full story of this thing that Jacob did. Jacob left Beersheba. This is in chapter 28, years earlier. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for a night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. The descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome this place is. This is none other than the house of God. That's the word Bethel. It's none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food and to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. There we have these three things. In response to God, and in response to God's presence in his dream, Jacob did these three things. God took these three things that he did and identified himself, as we read in this passage. It's on your worship folder. You can read it again as we go through this message. He did those three things. He named a place. He named a place, Bethel, okay? House of God. He performed a creative ritual. He took a stone pillar and he anointed it. And then he proclaimed vows of faith to God. Now, the first of these actions of Jacob teaches us, number one, that God can identify himself with the things that we name. Now, when God revealed himself to Jacob, Jacob named the location Bethel. The place itself was not that important. If it had been important, if the place itself had been important, then God could have called it, I am the God of Luz, or Luz. I'm the God of Luz, because that was the original name of the place. No, what God was doing, he valued Jacob's response to his presence so much that he actually called himself by the name that Jacob had created, Bethel. He identified himself with the name that Jacob had created. I am the God of Bethel, house of God. Now, God is interested. God is very, very interested in what we call the things that he has made. Now, for instance, you know, God created the animals. He never named them. God created all the animals. Beautiful feathers, beautiful fur, beautiful things that they do, but he never named them, like butterfly. He didn't do it. God didn't do it. And it says, here's what he says in Genesis chapter 2, 19. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man, Adam, to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. All the names were... And God talks about these animals, guess what he does? He uses human names. And the Bible is all written that way too. Every time you come across an animal, God never named it. Man named it. And man has named a lot of things, you know, in this world. Man is, in fact, that's what vocabulary is. That's what science is, naming things a lot of times. And we do it in literature. It's all human work, and God uses it. The Bible's written that way. This is an amazing, amazing thing. God cooperates with humans. Now, this is something else that's really, really interesting. When God speaks of animals, he doesn't just use human names. Sometimes he will take a human name that has been given to an animal, and he will call himself by that animal. Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who invented the term lion? Man. Yeah. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lamb of God. We know who that is. It's Jesus. Lamb of God. Lamb. Who made that name? It's a human name. God takes and identifies himself with our work in response to him. God has sovereignly enabled humans to respond to him with free will. Now, Jacob, he could have shrugged off that visionary dream and said, wow, what did I eat last night? That was quite a dream. He could have shrugged it off and just went on his way, but he didn't. He gave a devotional name to the spot where he had encountered God, and that name described the encounter, house of God. It was a devotional name. And in turn, God turns around and God immortalized Jacob's creativity by adopting that name for his own identity. Now think about that. He turns around and takes the name that Jacob had created, Bethel, and he immortalizes it. It's in Scripture. It's going to be forever, throughout eternity, that God is the God of Bethel. He is. And he's the God of many other places where we have encountered God. Maybe we haven't named them, but we remember them. Sometimes we write them down in a journal. God is the God of those places. You know, this is so fascinating to me. God makes it his own identity. I am the God of Bethel. It'll be that way forever. That's an awesome fact. The fact that God he chooses this. He chooses to identify himself with our responses to His presence. That's an amazing thing. God also identifies Himself with our creative rituals. Our creative rituals. Now, He did not tell Jacob to call that place that where he showed up. He said, now you call it Bethel, because I want that name. I want that name. So you call it Bethel. That's not, God didn't tell Jacob to do that. That was Jacob's free choice. And He didn't tell Jacob to anoint a stone, to set up the stone he had slept on and anoint it like a pillar. That was the response of Jacob's own heart to God's presence. He was responding. This is why it's so important. Our response to God is so important. When we open up the Bible, when we have a sermon, when we hear a beautiful melody on the radio or the television of someone singing a hymn and it just lifts our spirits, that is our response to God. And that is so important because God is not only recognizing it, sometimes He identifies Himself with it. And this applies to our own activities. This applies to our own activities. You know, I think about artists. Okay, artists sanctify canvases with oil paint. Sculptors baptize stone carvings with holy sweat. And poets anoint pages with creative ink when they do these things in response to God's inspiration, His presence, His uplifting of their hearts. This is an amazing thing. You know, I've written many poems inspired by meditating on God's Word. Or by, they come out of dreams. Sometimes they do come out of dreams. Just the poem itself came right out of a dream. Or holy contemplation where I'm meditating on some fact. Now, God can take those poems and say, David, remember that poem that you wrote after I gave you that dream or I came to you in that dream? I'm the God of that poem. I'm that God. Think about that. You know, I don't know how many of you... Have you ever taken art classes? How many people here have taken art classes? Okay, not very many, but Terry's going to raise his hand in a minute because he did this too. How many people have been in a figure drawing class? Okay. How many know that in a figure drawing class you learn to draw the human body from nude models? Yep, you do. Okay. All right, so I was in this figure drawing class. And we learned how to draw the human body from nude models. And our last assignment was to do a self-portrait. That's how they do in these classes. Everybody says, do a self-portrait. At the end of the class, you're always doing a self-portrait. Well, I felt the leading of God to do a pastel of myself kneeling naked before Christ naked, crucified naked on the cross. And I was looking up at Christ and I was holding up to Him a fig leaf garment that was tattered and falling to pieces and falling apart. And I was looking up in the face of God. This is what I named and titled this message. Dress me in your work alone. That was the name of this painting, pastel painting. Dress me in your work alone. Now when we had to share this at the end of these self-portraits at the last day of class. I told the message behind my self-portrait that our own works can't hide our sins. Our own works cannot hide our sins. That's fig leaf coverings, excuses, everything else that goes along with it. But by faith in Christ and His work on the cross, I can be accepted before God. His work really does hide me. We can be dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That comes from that song, Solid Rock. And I think, Terry, that's what you picked last for your song next week. Solid Rock. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Now, that summer, my art teacher accepted Christ. And she was baptized that summer. If God came to me in a dream, as He did to Jacob, He might say, David, remember that self-portrait? The one you made from that mental picture I inspired? The one you used for sharing my gospel to those students? I'm the God of that pastel painting. I'm that God. Do you see what I'm talking about here? Our responses. God identifies himself with our responses to him. His presence should elicit action. His inspiration should elicit action. You know, I titled this The God of Our Inspirations. That's the title of this message, The God of Our Inspirations. But really, he is the God who responds to us, who actually identifies with our response to his inspirations. That's the God who he is. And we're supposed to have action with our responses. We're supposed to respond with action. And I think about this. There's this little verse I saw this last week about prayer and activity, prayer and action. And here it goes. It's sort of funny. It said, "You must use your hands while praying, though, if an answer you would get. Prayer-worn knees and a rusty hoe never raised a big crop yet." You know what I'm saying? It's not just to have the inspiration. It's to put it into action with our hands, with our feet, with what we're doing, with our lives. God speaks, and then he watches to see how we will respond. And as he did with Jacob, he identifies himself with that. He identifies himself with the vows we make to him. Now, God really listens to what his people talk about. In Malachi 3:16, this is a wonderful verse. You know, the 3:16s of the Bible are very interesting. This is a real interesting. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3:16, here's what it says. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." They just spoke to one another. "And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." God cares so much. God cares so much about our devotion to him that a heavenly history is being recorded about our faith talk about God. When we get together and we talk about God, God is writing it down in a history book up in heaven, a book of remembrance. And you know what? God could say to us, "I'm the God of that conversation about me you had last week in the dining room. You know, I'm the God of the hopes you talked about. I'm the God of the dreams you shared. I'm the God of the vows you made. I'm that God." Isn't that amazing? God identifies himself in this way. God makes us promises, and when we make them back to him, he puts them down in his personal journal. That's amazing. I just can't get over this. When I first learned this, it gave me goosebumps thinking about this. How God does this. Jacob's vow that he made back to God after God made him these promises, Jacob's vow became part of how God identifies himself. And our vows. Our vows in response to God's promises becomes how he chooses to be known now. I'm going to read that again because it's too profound. Our vows in response to God's promises become how he chooses to be known. This is a cooperative effort, and it's sovereignly so. God has chosen it to be this way. What a privilege. And what a responsibility. Oh, what a responsibility when we think about this. God uses our responses to his presence, to his promises, to his revelations, to identify himself. If we realize what this means, then we can never, never trivialize our faith talk and our faith walk. Because God is listening to them. God is writing them down. And God wants to make our responses to divine inspiration into eternal testimonies by identifying themselves, connecting themselves to His own name, to His own person. So, what we do with this, with His enlightening presence, whatever He is inspiring us with, whatever revelation, and this is why I try to get you to share. We say sharing time. If God is doing something, remember this and share it. It's being written down, and God is identifying Himself with it. What we do with His enlightenment, with His enlightening presence, it counts right now, and because it's identified now with Him, it counts for eternity. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray on that note. Father God, this is so awesome. When I saw this, I got goosebumps all over, Lord. And then I got real humble, thinking, oh God, that You would identify with what I do, and You would make it part of Your identity by saying, this is that, I'm that kind of God, and I'm the God of that You have done there in response to me. Lord, that is so amazing, and it shows how deeply You want a relationship with us. Oh God, help us never to take lightly our devotional time, to never take lightly our reading of Your Word, or coming to church to listen to a message, or turning on the radio or the television and seeing a sermon being preached, or people singing in a choir that uplifts our spirit, and we give praise to You, or we write a poem, or we have some thoughts and we make a promise to You in response to Your promises to us. That's the God that You are. You've identified with those things. Help us to go on in our lives, Father, with this knowledge. Every day is important. Every breath we take and everything we do is important to You. Thank God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.